and gentlemen, welcome to a Spark in the Dream special here at Banks Law. We've got a fantastic show planned. We have the students from Martin Luther King High School here in Philadelphia. We have one of their teachers, Jonathan Verlin. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you.
It's great to have you back on the broadcast.
Great to be here.
From the Philadelphia School District, Denise Magasich, how are you?
Fantastic. We've got a great show today. We've got some great students who are going to tell you all about the wonderful things they're doing.
And I will say this, everybody is on, you know, top. I hope everybody talks more than you're talking. Now, normally it's the opposite problem. I'm ecstatic also to bring into the program Joe Mesa, who is the founder of Mesa and Associates and a member of our Spark in a Dream board. How are you, Joe?
Great, Joe. How are you doing today, man?
I'm feeling pretty good, especially since when we came in, I was able to stump you and Reagan here on a baseball, you know. I'm real proud of myself. I came up with a question that nobody I know, you know, could get. And so, you know, I'm feeling good about myself.
Well, I think Reagan and I both got the answer. You just told us what should happen. Like, you should dive in front of a baseball and get yourself taken out.
Joe, I wish you'd just agree with me here on the air. But we know we got a great show. I'm real excited about it. We're going to bring the students in. And it's part one of the show because we're going to have two broadcasts.
Exactly.
Having said that, Let me go to Denise first. Denise, if you will, tell us a little bit about who we're going to, not only who we're going to meet, but I'm talking about there was a big competition and the students came top 10 in a national competition. What are we looking at here?
So these students are they're from Martin Luther King High School, and they're part of the Business Administration CTE program.
Okay. You know anything about that? Have you ever heard of it, Denise?
So CTE actually stands for Career and Technical Education. So these students are in a three-year program. They come in as sophomores, and you have a combination of sophomores and one senior, Jennifer Blacko, you've met before.
Yes, Jennifer.
Jennifer's here.
That's
and
right.
They were in the Junior Achievement Titan competition, which is a simulation where they got to be CEOs of a company, of a cell phone company. And they made it all the way from the district competition to the state competition, their school's competition, all the way to the national competition. And I'm going to let them tell you their experience, but it's exciting. So it was a great, CTE is all about hands-on learning, and it's hard to simulate business, especially for sophomores, right? It's hard to give them that kind of experience. So this was a way to give them the experience of making decisions. And what I love about the program is it wasn't just about dollars and cents, but it was about treating your people right, human resources. It was about doing community relations, right? It was about all of these things that are so important. So those soft skills too. And I bet Joe can
It's interesting you say that. Because one of the things that, and we're going to ask Joe, and one of the things, Joe's not only one of the top lawyers in the city of Philadelphia, but if you, we do a lot of legal. He paid me to say that too. I got you. I need that money.
All right, I got 100 for you.
Let me tell you, I'm going to be saying a lot of nice things. I'm walking out of here with a pocket full of cash.
But he's a business owner,
but,
right?
But that's right. So one of the things we talk a lot about, and a lot of people don't really realize, is, and this is something, Joe, that I think you and I have talked about, but I've on air have talked about it 1,000 times, is in law school, they don't teach the business of law. Okay, which means when you get out of law school, you can either work for somebody else or you can open up your own firm. However, when you open up your own firm, you know, if you would, take it from there, Joe, because A, is that correct? They don't teach the business of law.
Absolutely not.
So law and owning your own firm is as much a business as, you know, any business, any big business.
Yeah, lots of people practice law and are lawyers, and that in its own right, the education and the work that goes into it. But, you know, running a business is a whole different story. And there's a lot of good lawyers out there who are not good business people. In fact, I would say most lawyers, probably the same as most doctors, are not good business people. I kind of maybe grew up around it a little bit. And for whatever reason, I seem to be pretty good at running a business. I actually run two businesses, Joe. In addition to my law practice, I have a separate real estate property management business.
Well, one of the things I'd say, especially since, you know, we're talking about the business, I talked to a really good lawyer, one of those people you're talking about, who decided one day, he told me this story. Now, he's a partner now somewhere, but he told me a story about he left this big practice. It wasn't your big practice, but it was somebody in your league, okay? And he was going to start his own firm. And he got to the door of the place that he was going to, his own new place, and he realized he just gave up like a massive job to open his own firm. And he turned around and fortunately got another, he actually coincidentally got a call because he realized that, you know, there's so many different facets. Oh, by the way, you have to practice law and represent clients, particularly at the beginning of that process. So, we're going to obviously going to talk about the business pathways. And certainly, you know, I can't think of a better individual to be here than Joe Mesa, who understands not only the law, but the business part of it. I think what you really got to have is guts and steel for nerves, man, because people don't realize sometimes when it comes to a business, who's the last one to get paid? You know,
me.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm the first one to come in, the last one to go home, the last one to get paid. But that's what's impressive about these kids being sophomores and having that kind of success, because there's so much to running a business in addition to the day-to-day of practicing law, handling cases. There's bringing in the business. There's administrating in the office. There's supervising the lawyers. There's supervising the staff, maybe things you refer to as HR. There's bringing in the money. There's making sure everyone gets paid. There's making sure they have benefits and health insurance, and that I own my buildings too. So it's making sure that everything around the buildings are taken care of, right? If there's a leak in the roof or a electric is out or, you know, a plumbing problem, whatever, that's all ultimately comes to me.
Get any sleep at all? I mean, a couple minutes here.
There's a running joke in my office that I'm a vampire and I don't sleep, but, you know.
But what about the adage, work hard, play hard? I mean, so you're talking about how...
Well, hold on, that's another show.
No. I mean, I just see the students' like eyeballs like popping out. So you work very hard, but you also enjoy life. So there's a balance between what the work that you do and then also having this enjoyment factor of your lifestyle.
Anybody who knows me will tell you that I'm a work hard, play hard kind of guy. That's why I don't get that much sleep. But, you know, I don't know. It seems like you get used to it to a certain extent. Certain amount of sleep, I'm fine. And, you know, I have my coffee in the morning and I go.
How many hours sleep would you say you get on average?
Five.
Yeah, that's about what I'm running.
I was up at 2:30 today. I started my day of 2:30.
You and I have had some 5 a.m. conversations.
Yeah. 5 a.m.
having said that, by the way, Joe sponsors a lot of the sports teams in the city of Philadelphia. It's obviously, even when you're at a social event, you're still thinking about your business. There's no you're
of
working
course.
While you're there.
You're always thinking about your business. Or if you're at a social event, you're networking, you're meeting people. These are potential future clients, potential referral sources, people that know someone that you're making a connection with for a business purpose. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So let's bring in Jonathan Verland. Jonathan, talk about your role, okay, at Martin Luther King High School and your relationship with the students.
Well, thank you for having me on. I am the business teacher at Martin Luther King High School, and I teach technology-related skills as they apply to the business world. I teach four different types. Well, this year I taught four types. They were basic computer literacy, financial literacy, word skills, and Excel skills. In basic computer literacy, I teach how to identify hardware and software components, how to make them work in a network environment, and how to install software. Financial literacy is really the primacy, I think, the most important component of my practice. I teach the concept of budgeting, how to plan for expenses.
And budgeting is important even for our business owner, right?
Budgeting is huge. I mean, you know, you need to know how many dollars are coming in and how many are going out. So if I'm paying malpractice insurance, health insurance, liability insurance on the building, everybody's benefits, everybody's salaries, all the overhead costs and cases, I need to know how much money is coming in and what we're going to budget, what's going to go out to make sure everyone gets paid every 2 weeks.
And how to avoid deficit spending.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, thankfully, my practice has been pretty successful. However, you know, we have a large line of credit. So the way the business goes, if there's ups and downs, you need to take money off your line of credit to deal with, you know, what you call deficit spending, maybe to some extent in the short term. But we know or we can predict money coming in the future that we can pay the line of credit down and deal with those things.
And, you know, budgeting, I mean, everyone should start creating a budget early. Right,
no question.
So we should start creating a budget, knowing how much you have money in, you have coming in, if it's an internship or if it's, you know, money for a birthday or whatever the income is that you have coming in. And then knowing, then making a budget of, like, always pay yourself first, unless you're a business owner.
Put money away and save. But it's important what you said, being able to budget. I mean, that starts personally, mm-hmm. right? I know I have X number of dollars coming in every week or every month, the things I want to do, whether it's go to the movies or go out to dinner or buy tickets to a sporting event or take a vacation. Like, I don't want to bring in $2,000 a month on a regular basis and then spend $5,000 a month, or I'm not going to be in my living space very long.
Right.
Yeah, it is interesting too, though, what is actually mind-boggling when it comes to the law. Something called the contingency fee agreement. What does that mean? That means that and Joe's going to explain what he does with his business, and people aren't paying. You don't walk in to see one of the best lawyers in the country and the staff and his team of lawyers and pay out of pocket. You get that at no cost, which means that if you get represented by one of his attorneys, you're not paying out of pocket, including all the investment in the firm. You're waiting a couple years for the money to come in, you know, to win the trial. I don't know how you do it. I would, the 5 hours for me would be a 20 minutes talking to my wife. I don't think I can do this. And, you know, this is crazy. But, you know, at the beginning, that has to be, you know, sobering.
Well, you know that you got to believe in yourself, Joe, and you got to believe that your hustle and drive and that is going to be able to bring in the money, be successful in the cases, and have some level of prediction there. But you were bringing up gambling before, Joe. That's why I don't gamble. I gamble every day in my business, right? If I'm not successful in a case, I'm not making money. I'm not moving forward. So I don't need to go and bet on sporting events or horses or in the casino or anything else. And the odds are better in what I do. And, you know,
by the way, sports and gambling, that's a whole other story, and that's another show we will do someday, but right. Damn.
Joe, I think the students would be really interested in know this. What do you think are the traits of a good business owner? Like, what should they be, you know, what traits should they, I mean, some of them are innate, right? But what are some of the traits of a good business owner?
Well, I would say the majority of it is hard work and sweat,
passion,
equity, and loving what you do, believing what you do. I mean, there's a lot of traits that come into play, but very little of it is luck, right? The majority of it is, you see someone who's lucky and who's successful, it's because they've worked really hard. So drive, perseverance, you know, some level of common sense and understanding and, you know, things like budgeting and otherwise, but I would say it's, you know, 85% just perseverance, hard work, focus.
Gritty, being gritty.
Well, there you go. That's a good word for it.
That is
being
a good
from
word.
Philly, not referring to the mascot.
Oh, well,
I was going to say.
Anytime I can throw that in, too.
Is there anything we've left off the list so far?
I would just like to pick up on what Joe had said. Being a good listener, because when you're a good listener, you're better able to solve problems that way, which is what business is all about.
Listening, I would say, problem solving is important, right? Being able to problem solve.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of what they did. I mean, they had a problem. They had to come up with a solution. They had to work hard. They were under a time constraint, right? They had budgets. They had to stay within the budget. So all of these things were part of the competition that these fine gentlemen, and they're going to be in it next year again in the following year, and hopefully next year we'll be sitting here with first place.
Joe, that's a really important skill too, problem solving, and I won't take too much time with this, Joe, but I have 50 employees in my law office, and I tell all of them top to bottom, if you have a problem or there's an issue or a concern, don't come tell me about it and look to me for an answer and expect me to fix it. I want you to think about it and come up with a solution. I want you to problem solve in your own mind. come to me when you have what you think is the right thing to do and the right way to handle it and the right solution, and we'll sit down and talk about it. And I might not agree with you, or I might agree with you, but at least you've taken the time to think through what the issue is and problem solve and come to me with what you think is an appropriate solution. I think that's important for anybody. It's important for them to go through that process and understand how to do that and be a better problem solver. And oftentimes, the things they come up with are better than what I think, or, you know, I agree with them.
Well, you hire the right people.
Well, that, and by the way, that was my next point. What about how important is surrounding yourself with, you know, the right people? And you know, talk about, you know, at the beginning of that process, okay, because, you know, there aren't enough things you got to worry about when you talk about the financing of a business and practicing law and doing all this, but also surrounding yourself with good people and understanding the HR process.
It's critical. I mean, I surround myself with smart people because it makes me look better, right? It makes me look smarter if I have smart, good attorneys. Also, I'll admit in public on the air, Joe, I am not the most organized person in the world. So I want people around me who are organized that can help me stay organized, and people that have, maybe they're stronger in some skill sets that I'm not as strong in. All those things are important. Like, I want to hire, you know, someone who's, you know, good with numbers or a great writer, or just surround myself with those people.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things that I think is so important along those lines is getting people who have, you know, obviously people skills and want to be a part of a team, but also who take your business as serious as if it's their own. If they take, there is nothing like, you could find more, you know, more brain surgeons walking on Market Street than you can find, in a sense, a receptionist that cares so much about your business that you could be doing a radio show or in court, and that person is taking the calls and helping the people and share the culture. You know, even the face of the place. I mean, whether it's a lawyer or that person.
It's critical. The person answering the phone, the receptionist, my office manager who's been with me for 35 years was my first legal secretary. My legal secretary has been with me 29, 30 years. My paralegal, 29, 30 years. So loyal, good, hardworking people who are committed to you. But it's also important, like, I'm an old school Italian, Joe. So, you know, loyalty's a big thing. But loyalty's a two-way street, right? If someone's loyal to you, you need to show that loyalty back in return. So having those relationships and those right people, but taking care of those people that take care of you and look out for you.
So what that means is, and we're very fortunate to have Joe on this broadcast, because we could have a lot of great attorneys like Joe, but they may not know anything about business. So it's, you know, having the students and I can't wait to talk to them about that and about those. Jonathan, you talk about the technical part of business, technology, okay?
I can't. That's the other thing. I need just, people who are good with technology, because I'm
right.
not.
Talk about, you know how important that is, and how the students are in those classes.
Well, before you say that,
hold
I'm going to give. I'm
Who's
gonna
running
give,
this show?
You know what? I think it's me.
You're right.
Before I was going to give him a kudos. Yeah, I was going to like introduce him.
Please.
You are talking to the teacher who has. The only student in the School District of Philadelphia who is sitting at the table with us who has achieved every Microsoft Office certification.
Awesome.
But one. Because I didn't let them take it. And that was me. She was prepared for it, and I said its access is not worth it, taking it. So, but this is the only teacher in the School District, in the history of the school district.
And we'll talk about that, Jonathan, and how important it is to prepare young people for a successful future. So when they walk into Joe Mess's office and they're looking for a job at a top, you know, place to work, that they're qualified.
That's very important. In order to be successful in business, you have to know how to use the tools. You have to know how to use Word to write letters, to apply for jobs, application letters, other types of letters, being able to write various business documents like resumes and short essays, how to work with templates, because, correct me if I'm wrong, that a lot of the law business revolves around standardized types of documents, which are templates.
There are certainly templates that are used, absolutely.
And we stress that.
How important is certification when people come to you with your employees or when you're hiring certification? How important is that to you?
It depends on what level of employment it is. Like, right, my IT guy in the office has to be certified because he's the problem solver for anything that comes to technology. It's just one factor that we consider amongst many factors when we're looking to hire someone, you know, education, experience, sort of, you know, how they'll fit into the culture, their certifications, their, you know, different things they've done in the past.
Sure. Joe, how, and we're going to get with, you know, we're going to bring the students
in. Yeah, let's bring the students in.
And we'll talk about soft skills and stuff like that, which I know are really important along those interviews.
And mentors. I'm dying to know about mentorship. And
you don't have to ask. I'm Joe's mentor. No. That's it, right there.
So that's a good question about mentorship. Yeah. So the trial lawyers have a program called the Diversity Mentoring Initiative, where we're trying to make what we do as plaintiff's trial lawyers available or expose young law students to it. Because frankly, a lot of law students, when they're in law school, they get sort of pushed to different things. And there's not a lot of kids coming out of law school who understand what we do or want to do what we do. So the idea is taking first-year law students through the diversity mentoring initiative and bringing them in to law firms that do what we do to spend the summer and sort of get some exposure to it, with the idea and the goal is diversity, to bring young, diverse candidates in, get them exposed, bring them through, you know, potentially working as a law clerk for a number of years and hiring once they graduate from law school.
Before we bring the students in, I want them to tell them what type of a little bit about the firm and what type of law you know the firm practices and you.
So we call ourselves trial lawyers. So the only people that really are what we call trial lawyers are, we represent injured people. So everything from sort of what you might think of the regular everyday injury cases, like a car accident or a slip and fall or something like that. But we do that, but the focus of our practice is more on the complex catastrophic injuries. So medical malpractice cases, product liability cases, construction accident cases, medical device and drug cases, some of sort of the mass tort stuff that people may have heard about, like the CPAP cases that recently settled for $1.1 billion, the 3M earplug.
We've done several shows
cases
on that, you and I.
Hair relaxer cases, the product that they sell to relax hair and have for many years causes cancer. Oh, so geez. You have these big corporations, and sort of I love the idea of, you know, we're fighting for the little guy against corporate America. I love what we do because I sort of grew up in Germantown, and I loved to fight as a kid growing up, and I got in trouble a lot doing it, and now I do it for a living. But I love the idea of fighting against, you know, the whether it's the medical
David
industry or
and
pharmaceutical
it right
companies and big corporations, right, and getting justice for someone who's been harmed by someone's negligence or a defective product or bad medical care.
Well, it's representing individuals who in the contingency fee agreement allows people who could never really be represented, okay, especially since they're sick and injured or catastrophically injured or even maybe worse, to be able to get a top-notch representation when they could never afford it themselves. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We're going to have more from our Spark in a Dream special when we come back.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Healthy people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Help us help them. These are the beautiful voices of police officers, firefighters, nurses, and teenagers who remind us that we can come together and create harmony and unity. Brave to 24365 to learn how you can help your first responder community today.
Here is an important message for everyone who drives a motor vehicle. Every day, an average of 2 emergency responders are struck by vehicles while working on the road. Some don't survive. Others are critically injured and can no longer perform their life-saving jobs. In 2019, 44 emergency responders were struck and killed while working to help others on the road. Sadly, it looks like that number will be even higher in 2020. Firefighters, police officers, paramedics, tow truck operators, and every responder needs your help, and they need it now. Do your part to keep everyone safe on the road. When you see flashing lights of any color on the road ahead of you, slow down, move over, and give them room to work. It's the law in Pennsylvania. Police are cracking down, and penalties for violators are on the rise. This message is brought to you by PennTime and the Beasley Media Group. Learn more about Pennsylvania Traffic Incident Management at penntime.com.
I love the Army. You just have this brotherhood that you can't find anywhere else. Since coming home from war, I've tried so many different things. I just remember thinking, like, it's over.
After being forced to medically retire, Angie battled addiction to prescription medications, eventually losing her house and marriage. Then she found Wounded Warrior Project.
And so I went online, I signed up, and I knew that Wounded Warrior Project was definitely my new community. One of the staff members, she put me in for peer mentor training. It was like for the first time someone recognized something good about me and thought that I had something to give back to someone else. Are you doing okay otherwise?
I've kind of picked up woodworking with my grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
So
I saw 3D stuff.
All those activities gave me a new way to live without drugs, a new way to live without feeling like I'm broken. You can live a meaningful life after traumatic experiences.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
All right, welcome back to our Sparking a Dream special here at Banks Law. We've got an awesome show. So happy to have had Denise Magasich on the broadcast and putting this together, and Mr. Jonathan Verlin of Martin Luther King High School, and of course Joe Messer of Messer and Associates. We have some great students on the program. We have Shaheem.
Mm-hmm.
Shaheem, if you would, a little bit about yourself and you know, what brought you here?
My name's Shaheem Burton. I'm from MLK High School. I play football and basketball there.
Awesome.
And what brought me here, you know, the business administration class.
And so we talked about, you know, we're talking about it, Mr. Verlin was talking about it, and Ms. Magasich. What got you into the business program?
Initially, I just thought, I'm like, you know, it's going to be some entrepreneurship kind of thing. So I was excited for that.
What year are you in school?
What year am I in right now?
Yeah.
10th. I'm in 10th grade.
Oh, you're in 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody in 10th grade? Or okay, we have a senior right there. She just looked at me like, no, I'm not a 10th grade. Let me bring into the program Rakeen. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So a little bit about yourself. What year are you in?
I'm in 10th grade.
10th grade? Okay. And talk about, are you in the business pathways program also?
Mm-hmm.
What What got you into that area of academics?
I wanted to learn more about business and like how to do taxes and stuff like that, and how to make a bank account and stuff.
Absolutely. And then since you're learning all that, you're going to be putting something in that bank account. That's what it's all about. What is your favorite part of being in that program? We talked about Mr. Verlin talked about the obviously the a lot of technical skills and all those things that are important. But is there anything you're drawn to that you like the best about it?
Like best about the business class?
Yeah.
I like the J.A. Tynan thing, the event where we run our own company.
Oh, yeah.
And we basically were CEOs, and we had to control different aspects like production, management, HR, marketing, and budgeting as well.
Go ahead now.
No.
Well, so who was a part of the competition?
Well, Shaheem and another student, Kwasir, were part of the event, but I was just coaching.
Okay, yeah. And so Shaheem, and you were coaching. Okay. So tell us about the event and what it's all about.
So in the event, you're a CEO of a phone company. So you have to, you have to manage a phone company where you get profit, you have to market, you have to have R&D, have relationships with the
vendors and all that?
Right. And you're just a CEO. And it's it was a great learning experience to be like in that position, and then to also compete with other people and see where you line up with other people in that sense.
That the competition, and I'm going to ask Rakeen a little bit about coaching in a second. But who are you competing against?
I think it was kids from how many states? 35 states, and it was like.
You guys came top 10, right?
Came top 10.
That's. Go ahead.
And initially, we started off, it was just in the district, I think. In the district, we competed in the district. We got first place there, but initially, we didn't get our trophy because something happened with a tie or something, and we didn't initially get our trophy, but later on, we got it. And recently, he told us that we was competing in nationals.
Awesome.
And it was.
You got it. Well, let's talk to Rakeen. Talk about your role as a coach. What does that entail?
So, I want to say I'm the best at it, but I understand like certain hidden aspects of the JA. I wouldn't say system or whatever. So you would have to have the best phone on the market. You would have to, but I really specialize in the CSR. So it's like community paying your employees. Like their benefits, their pay, and you also got a volunteer efforts for the community and just donations and stuff for the community.
Joe, if you would, because as you can see, our producer is directing us.
Telling you what to do, Joe. Yeah. It's like you're at home when your wife knows.
Exactly,
you what to do.
Exactly. I go right into mode, man. You hear about what the students are doing and talking about the different facets. How do you relate to that?
Well, I mean, I think it's impressive that they're getting involved with that kind of program at their age, being in 10th grade. I mean, I don't know about you, Joe, but me, I wasn't thinking about business at all when I was in 10th grade. I was thinking about, sports, what I had to do in school for whatever, math, science, social studies, and girls. That's the only thing I was thinking about.
I was going to say, if you left girls out, I was going to jump right in.
I wasn't going to leave it out because I knew you were going to throw it out there.
Now, when you say, you talk about, getting involved at that age, so are all the other schools, are they sophomores also? Or are they sophomores?
No.
Oh, so
it was like, I think seniors mostly. And then some juniors and sophomores,
How about that? Taking down the seniors. Yeah. So you guys are sophomores, okay? So what was the preparation like? What were the you know, how did that, talk about that, you know, preparing for it, as in many ways, Joe, as an athlete, you're preparing for a game or whatever. This is a competition. Every bit is maybe even more competitive. I mean, you're an athlete as well, Shaheem, but talk about how it was to prepare for the competition.
The preparation was definitely key. Like, if we didn't prepare, I feel like we definitely would have placed way lower than we did, because the preparation really made us realize, like, what we could, like, push the limits on and how much we could really do.
How long did it take to prepare?
I think two weeks, three weeks.
Okay, and you were involved in the preparation, McKean?
Coach of the Year.
Oh, my God.
Let's hope Nick Sirianni gets it this year.
Oh, yeah. We could have used you, Wes. In that, we start talking about the Eagles last year. What type of training, when in football and basketball, you know, you're doing your drills and all that. In business, what is the training? What does that look like? Like, what type of drills or preparation?
It's just basically just trying to push the limits, you know. So basically, you have this section of production, right, where you can set the price of your phones, set different things that you want to go in your phones, and set how many phones you want to make. So when I was preparing, I would push, see how far I could push the limits of pricing so you could get the highest profit margin, and then I would see how much of, like, then you got marketing.
You're doing test marketing.
Yeah, I was trying to see, like, how much of the market there is, like, how many phones could I sell max? So that really prepared us.
I'll bet it did. That's impressive. Let's talk about when you actually get to the competition. Okay, how do they judge? You know, how do you, you know, you, what are the drills or whatever? You know, how do they judge the competition?
Well, when we, I actually, well, both of us, me and Quasar, we both came late to the competition. So the first round, we basically went bankrupt because of how late we were. So
Come on, that's another business thing, being on time.
You got to be on time.
We were not on time at all.
Hold on, Joe. At least he's honest. And he's not scared. He's not skipping around it. Hold on. They generated $60 million in profit.
We did.
Whoa. We could.
Maybe I want to hire them, Joe.
I was going to say, talk about that. Talk about that and the success you had.
I mean, when you get, like, seeing that you made that amount of money and then seeing that you placed first, it's like you get real happy. You get real happy, I'm going to be honest. You get real happy.
Yeah, it's even happier when it's real money.
Exactly. If it's real money, exactly.
Well, you know, talk about, you know, your coaching and what you did during the drills, Rakeen, and during the competition.
During the practice, we had to.
But not the practice, but when you got to the talk about the practice, right? Talk about what you did during the practice and then during the competition.
Like, in the intermission before we did the second round, because we got bankrupt in the first round because we wasn't there, we were seeing what areas where we could push upon, right? Like in production, we figured out you don't want to overwork your employees with production, but there was a slight gap where it's like 79, that's the max you can put it. And so we figured that out. So we applied that during the second round where we actually played, and we made more money from that. And we also found a higher distribution in the CSR, because just percentages. And so you put like 10% of your budget into CSR, that's community and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how we get the most amount of tokens, because we got to get the most tokens in a certain area to get the higher placement. And Shaheem knew that, so he abused it, and that's how we got first place.
Took advantage of it.
Yeah, so we was in last place because of the first round incident, but we locked in because we knew we had to catch up, and that's how we got $60 million in a profit. That's profit, right?
Yeah. Joe, I mean, you're right. This is real problem solving, and this is thinking on the spot. I mean,
sure, that's impressive. as a trial lawyer, it's something you got to do in a courtroom all the time, right? You're on your feet. Something happens in a courtroom you don't expect. You have to be able to pivot and go right to the next thing and make it look like in front of the jury you know what you're doing and it wasn't something that caught you off guard. So problem solving and being able to do that like in a short period of time or having that preparation, for me, preparation is everything. If I know my case really well, I'm really prepared. I'm in a courtroom on my feet and something happens I'm not expecting. I know my case real well. I'm real prepared. I can just really segue into the next thing or pivot and deal with a situation like that without having it, you know, throw me off.
I can only imagine what would have happened if you guys were actually there on time, you know, Italy. For
on
the first
time, one. Right.
If you were on time.
We would have won.
I'm sure we would have won. I'm sure.
There goes the importance of being on time.
Right. So, having said that, first of all, you have two more competitions when you're juniors and seniors, okay? This is kind of redundant, but what did you learn from this competition that you're going to take the next year? And are these other schools from different states? Or are they from? Oh, so you're repping PA, not just Philly.
We was fighting a time. Timing.
Okay.
They're
so
also in the West.
Okay. So where was the competition?
It was virtual.
Oh, it was Zoom. Okay. Yeah. Oh, how about that? So you want to make sure they do it real early in the morning. So the California kids got to get up at 5 a.m. But what are you going to take with you in as juniors? Okay. And who, how many people were in the actual competition? You're the coach?
From us?
Yes.
It was three of us, but realistically it was two. I was just coaching unofficially.
Okay, well, I mean, you could say that all you want. You know, it was three. Because take Andy Reid or we could have took Nick Sirianni out of it too, but my point is the coach.
Jeff Stallen.
Right. Yeah, we can't do it without Jeff Stallen. They're the coaches for the Eagles. You were every bit on that. That teamwork, was that a big part of it?
That teamwork was definitely a big part because, I'm going to be honest, he opened my eyes to something I didn't even realize at first. So it really helped us build points and things like that. Like, if he didn't tell us what he told us, we probably would have placed a little bit lower.
This is what I see them doing, right, Joe? Just like the Eagles on the sidelines, come over here. They got the because that's the way they don't want anybody to hear. That's fantastic. You talk about that teamwork, okay? And you're playing sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe, talk about, in a sense, a lot of those things that you learned in sports. And by the way, this is whether you're playing sports or not playing sports, this competition and all is going. You're going to take these skills, won't you? But as an athlete, you're taking some of those skills, teamwork, preparation, but
definitely
also performing with you every day, right?
In life, competition. And what I do, it's a competition, right? It's me or the lawyers that work with me against whatever insurance industry, big corporation, medical industry, whatever it is. And just like it takes in sports, your, you know, hard work, preparation, knowing what you're doing, having your plays down in advance, that's going to make you more successful.
And to kind of, you know, your points, most of the time when you, and as an athlete, but in life, okay, and I love that one commercial where they have all the kids playing sports and the announcer comes on and goes, you know what, and I've said it all the time, 99.9% of these kids are going to go pro in something other than that sport that they're playing, right? Well, pivoting, like you said, you know, I can't tell you how many times playing sports where you practice for the other team to set up in this defense and you get there and they're not even close to it, right? And so now you have a coach right there. You're going back and you're problem solving on the spot, okay? And that's and you talk about the NFL, NBA, and all them. Really, they're playing chess, okay? Yeah, they're seeing a team that was successful. Okay, and you saw it last year in this competition, and they're practicing for that team. Now they're practicing for this team all week long, and all of a sudden they're not running the same offense, the same game. So, was there anything you learned from other teams that, you know, you're going to incorporate into what you do for your next competition, or at least prepare for it when you win next year?
Just adapt. Cause that game is all about adapting to the other, your opponents and the market. So just adapting is definitely key.
Well, when you talk about it, where do you see yourself? Let's kind of you know, next level stuff. You guys are obviously doing fantastic. You got into the business pathways program. You got a great teacher, and you're in a great program. Where do you see yourself? I know you're sophomores now, but where do you see yourself education wise when it comes to when you graduate MLK?
I'll probably go into college for either business or psychology, because those are both of my two main interests. Actually, about the internship,
sure.
I actually wanted to go into production as well. That's why I actually wanted to come here today, to see how it was behind the scenes and everything, because I always found interest in that, and that's why I also wanted the internship as well.
Yeah, right. No, that's and by the way, we're talking about the Spark in the Dream internship that we're going to be doing at the school district. So it is awesome to meet you, and it's great to have that that approach, that, you know, really that mentality when it comes to analyzing things. And we'll get into a lot of the things that we do in preparing for the show. And I think, Joe, you said preparation is everything. Like, I have an interview here, and I'm doing it, and we do a lot of broadcasts. I'll prepare, and I have so many questions. I may not use half of them, but I'm prepared, okay? And that's, you know, that's a really big part of, you know, any case, any type of business. So, and we're going to have a lot of fun over the summer. You guys are going to produce your own shows. And, you know, by the fall, I won't even have to show up. You'll be doing the damn show. So,
especially since he's the coach.
Yeah, and you're the coach. You'll be coaching me, for damn sake. Having said that, obviously it's young people, sophomores in high school. And it's so awesome to see, you know, Joe, we don't get, you know, usually, and what I love about the Spark in the Dream program is you get to meet the young people and see the future of our city. Because, as we all know, on the TV and on the radio, you don't hear any good news. It's all about, you know, what happens on the street and all those things. And so it's refreshing, Joe. To meet young people that are taking the initiative and getting involved. Because I will say what yous are all doing. Okay, what you're doing here is such an advantage from, like, even, you know, like we talked about, you know, when we were kids, I wish we would have had that, at least I wish I would have had that mentality.
Definitely, Joe, it's a testament to the school district.
Absolutely.
That they have a program like this for young people. I don't remember anything like it when I was growing up. You had math, English, social studies, you know, the gym, lunch, you know, whatever, but there were no programs that were really practical for what life is like in the real world, or things that you may experience in the real world, or skills, whether it's even at this at their age, day-to-day life, or as they grow older, whether it's their own budgets and their own spending and earning and things like that, but also from a on a greater perspective, from, you know, potential business interests, or as an employee or an employer, or starting their own way in the world in the business sometime in the future. So that's certainly nothing that I ever learned in school.
And when you think, I think about Joe, and Joe is as successful as you can almost get in the field of law. What is your definition of success? I'll go to Shaheem first.
I think it's being happy in what you do, just loving what you do, like not getting complacent in what you do, always progressing. I feel like that's success to me. If you're unhappy with your situation, but you're making a lot of money, I don't feel like that's success, because you're not comfortable. I feel like if you're happy and you're doing what you love, even if you're not making a lot of money, I feel like that's success.
That's really insightful.
It really is.
It really is. And if you love what you do and you're willing to work hard at it and you keep doing it, success will come.
Absolutely. One of the things, it's incredibly insightful that you just said that, okay? If you're passionate and you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And when you see your identity through your work, and man, that is something that's which means it fuels you and it drives you and it's part of who you are. Rakeem, talk about what your definition of success is.
Success for me would be able to live comfortably, like Shaheem said, but like most importantly, be able to wake up and be happy about your job, to go there and just to have a good day. Just be happy to have a job or just happy to have something to do during the day, but also to be living comfortably.
Man, I love you guys. Role models. Shaheem?
Role models. Definitely my mom, for sure. And role models like my grandpa, you know. And then, you know, you had the role models like the people you see on TV and stuff like that, but that's, you know, that's a...
Oh, but, you know, listen, you know, it's a great thing. And you talk about your mom and your grandpa, and it you know, it doesn't get me more real or more important than that. Rakeem, role models?
Actually, funny story. When I had to write essays for high schools, the question was, what does it mean to be successful, like you just asked? And I actually wrote about Steve Harvey. Cause that's, I know that sounds weird, but
no, I love Steve Harvey.
I like his origin story, cause he talked about how he had nothing growing up, how he couldn't talk, he had a speech impediment, and his teachers always said that he would never be on TV. But look at where he's at now, and he said he sends her a TV every year, and I just feel like that's a great role model, and my teachers are great role models because they show that no matter their background, they can get where they at right now.
And Joe, what would you say in an inspirational point about, you know, these young people here and being successful and being able to do whatever they put their minds to?
Well, I think that, you know, these are impressive kids, and the program is really good and a testament to the school district. I think they've already articulated a lot of it. Love what you do. Work hard at it. Success will come, but also believe in yourself and believe in what you're doing. At least for me and what I do, believe in what I'm doing is the right thing, that I'm helping people that need my help, that could never do the things that we do to help them in fighting corporate America and making a difference in people's lives. People think about trawlers, oh, you know, you're making money, things like that, and the financial part of it, you know, that it's nice, but my moral compass wouldn't allow me to do anything else. It wouldn't allow me to work for, you know, whatever, some big insurance company or Johnson & Johnson or some big corporation and try to keep people who are harmed from someone's negligence or a defective product from being able to recover what the law says they're entitled to. And to make a difference in someone's life, even though it's often the result of tragedy. And I've had people say to me, well, you know, doesn't it make you depressed that you deal with all this tragedy, people who have brain damage or amputations or they have a family member die or they're paralyzed or a baby who's harmed, who's injured tragically for life because of poor medical care and delivering that baby? And the answer for me is always no. It never gets me depressed. It empowers me. It makes me want to fight for them. It makes me want to work harder. And having that passion and that drive about what you do will make all the difference in life.
Having said that, we got a couple minutes left. That's awesome, Joe. One of the things also that I love about Joe and about the industry that I get to promote every day is that they're not only seeking justice for the individual who is catastrophically injured, whose life may never be the same, but they're making sure that regular everyday people like us, it doesn't happen to us. So they affect change, and it happens in the courtroom. So that I thank you for, and your colleagues. Shout outs before we rock and roll. Anybody you want to give a little shout out to?
Thank you to our principal for allowing us to be here.
Awesome.
And shout out to Quasir, you know.
Awesome. Shout out to Quasir. Akeem?
I would like to thank Mr. Verlin.
Put that a little closer. Go ahead.
I would like to thank Mr. Verlin.
Awesome.
For bringing us here and teaching us about business. And I would like to thank Miss Denise for helping me get the internship and for the business as well.
Well, I can't wait to, you know, to do the internship. And you know, you guys, I want to wish you, you know, the best. You guys are going to be so successful. It's so awesome to meet you. Rakeen and Shaheem, thanks so much for being on the broadcast. Joe Mesa, you know, this is not our first rodeo. We've done many shows, but you continue to impress, and I thank you for being a part of what we're doing here.
Thank you, Joe, as always. It's a great program, and you know, everything that these young people in the school district is doing, and the Sparking the Dream, and I'm sure you're going to have a great summer, Rakeen, learning about these things, and I wish everybody, you know.
Well, he'll be running your success. Next show. Next time we do the next show.
All right. Well, whatever. If I'm available, I'll come.
Yeah, we'll go to you.
All right. Come to me. I'll bring a couple more lawyers, and I'll even let you pick one.
You let me pick one, Joe?
One.
Oh, yeah. I already know who it is. Obviously, Mr. Jonathan Verwin, thanks for being on the broadcast. Denise Magasich, on behalf of everybody on the program, this has been part one of our Spark of the Dream special, part two coming up. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Joe Dougherty. Have a great day, everybody.